And you know, really, there ain't no economy will survive like that. And you say, well, why are you talking? Well, I can tell our church, listen, I can tell the church world in the last 5 years, I can tell, and there's been as Brother Benny preached, an erosion. I've seen people have got more familiar and in love with this old world than they have God and God's ways and God's things. My brother, that ain't going to work. It won't work in your life. You know, you just watch personal life. If you get all caught up in this world, that's what brings bad homes, bad lives, busted homes. That's what brings it. We've got to put Christ first. Now, I know God has trusted people with money through the Bible. You know, in the patriarch days, those men Job was as wealthy a man in the whole country. And he was the best man in the whole country. I'm not saying that money makes you evil. It doesn't. It's the love of money that makes you evil. Abraham was a very wealthy man. And he was a faithful man. David was a very wealthy man. But he was a man after God's own heart. I'm not saying that we have to be poverty stricken to be spiritual. That's not it at all. But we can't put our trust in what we can do and what we have. For life consists not in the abundance of the things you possess. I'm waiting on another amen, but I guess I ain't going to get it. Say it's the truth anyhow. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 7. And I want to talk to you about Christianity here this morning. I want you to look in the 7th chapter. And let's begin reading verse number 15. I'm going to read first 15, and we're going to go down into some serious stuff here. All right? Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns? I'll let you answer that. Do they? Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs out of thistle bush? Now, I know this is a simple lesson, church, but it really, this simple lesson bears such a deep spiritual lesson that we need to just think about it for a minute. It's practical, isn't it? Isn't that common sense? If you want to fig, you don't go to a thistle bush. And so that's the way these false prophets, he says, ye shall know them. To discern, the discerning of spirits is a gift of the Holy Ghost. To be able to discern and be able to tell that a prophet is false or not. So ye shall know them by the fruit. That's where we're headed this morning. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now, brother and sister, God expects us to bear fruit if we're a child of God. Amen. You remember the parable of the man that planted the fig tree in a vineyard. Now, he had a purpose for that. Why do you think a man would plant a fig tree in a vineyard? You know, a vineyard's not an orchard. A vineyard was either grapes or olives. And so why would he plant a fig tree in that vineyard? I'm not real deep theologian, but you know what I think? I think he liked figs. You say, well, boy, that's real deep. Well, you know, he just said, well, these grapes and olives are great. It's going to help my income, and that's my livelihood. But in the midst of all this, I love figs. I'm going to plant me a fig tree in here for my own pleasure. Huh? How many likes Fig Newtons? Huh? Not many. I love them. I just thought y'all might could relate more to Fig Newton. You're not relating to this fig business here. But you know what the Lord of the vineyard did? He went out and he looked at that tree he planted, and he said, boy, have you ever done that? Have you ever stopped at a restaurant and you could almost taste it before you pulled in? I was preaching a little homecoming down a little church in Carolina, and, you know, the pastor said, I'm going to take you to dinner, lunch tomorrow. He said, there's a Western sizzling down here in this little town. I'll go on the buffet and eat all you want. I don't know why I thought I'd be impressed with that eat all you want thing. But when we pulled up in that parking lot, they had yellow tape all around, temporarily closed. Now, boy, that is a shock to the old taste buds. Huh? Got that ribeye juice already flowing down your throat and you pull in. Amen. And you know what? My greatest nightmare, the only thing left open would have been a Sonic. Now, that would have been bad, wouldn't it? But it was something else open. But, you know, here's this man comes out over his vineyard and he says, there are going to be some figs on that tree by now. And you know what he did? He went over there, and no figs. Now, wait a minute. Why did he plant that tree? Why did he plant you? Huh? Oh, he just planted that tree in that vineyard just so that tree would have somewhere to grow. Uh-uh. He planted it on purpose, for a purpose. And that's the way you and I are. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a teacher. But there's something in your life God is looking out of your life. See, I don't know, you haven't seen the Lord walking around down here on this earth. He did one time, but not now. You know, you're the only hands and feet that this world sees of Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? The Lord is wanting fruit. If we say we're a Christian and we do not the things that he says. You know what the Bible said? What did John say? If you say he abides in you and you hate your brother, what did he say you were? What did he call you? Not me. What did he call you? He said you're a liar. If you say, now, God is, now this husbandman came back to this vineyard and he said, or the Lord of the field and the husband, the one that cared for it, he said, give me another year. Let me dig about it and fertilize. Come on now. Maybe that's what we need here at the church. That's what I was trying to do this morning. I was trying to dig about you a little bit. I was trying to fertilize you a little bit. Because I know that the Lord of this field right here, if you don't bear fruit, it's going to be bad. Well, what did that man do with that tree that did not bear the figs that he had planted for that purpose? What did he do? He said, give me another year to dung about it. And if it does not bear fruit, what's he going to do? Cut it down. Cast it in the fire. Now, brother, that's not a doctrine that you'll hear much about across the land this Sunday morning. Amen. A lot of people have a religion that they don't want nothing asked of them. They don't want nothing expected of them. They think that Jesus died on the cross, and therefore we are all saved just by what Jesus did. But, brother, I want to tell you, there is something you've got to do. You've got to confess your sins. You've got to be born of the Spirit. Come on, church, somebody say amen. You got to be born of the Spirit, and you've got to bear fruit. Give me the fruit again of the Spirit. Can you quote them to me? The first one is what? What's the banner-waving fruit of the Spirit? Anybody know? What's the first one? Love. Do you have it? What's some more? I don't know if I can quote them all in order. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering, and gentleness, and meekness, and temperance, and kindness. Do I have to go over them again? Huh? What if we all became fruit inspectors this morning? We see any love? See any joy? See any kindness? Do we? Oh, I thought I heard a growl. No, growling's not one of the fruit of the Spirit. Huh? Y'all don't love his preacher this morning. Huh? Y'all like holiness preaching? You're getting a little of it here this morning. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You can't conjure that up. We can't send you to export or OBI or college somewhere and let them teach you how to love and teach you how to live. We can't really do that. You do that on an altar. Amen. You become a fruit tree. God plants you in his garden. And then it's as natural. Hey, you don't go to bed at night in the spring of the year and all of a sudden you're woke up in the middle of the night, fruit popping out on that tree. Pop, pop, pop. It don't happen overnight. Amen. Come on now. I'm telling you, God, you're born of the Spirit, and then naturally, and amen, it comes out on you because that's what she is. Hallelujah. We need to be wholeness, not only in the fruit and the leaves, but down in the bark and all the way to the heart of the tree. You cut that tree down, there's fruit on it. It's an apple tree. Brother, you cut it all the way down to the center core, and that's the core of an apple tree. We ought to be wholeness from the inside out. Come on now. Ooh, boy, I feel like preaching a little. Amen. Y'all, what are y'all ready to do? Y'all want to go to that Western sizzling? I should have never mentioned it. Just think about the Sonic, and you won't be all that anxious to go. Let's hear what happened. You got to be. God expects us to have the fruit of the Spirit. All right, listen to this. It says, every good tree bring forth good fruit. How many knows you can't have both fruit on the same tree? A corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Huh? A good tree cannot bring. Hear me now. Are y'all in verse 18? How many, if you feel like you want to be a good tree, I want to hear you say amen right here. About 10 of you. What's the rest of you going to be? We're going to lock our lawnmowers up if you're going to be a thief. Now, how many wants to be a good tree here this morning? All right? It says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. You can't do it. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. It won't happen. You say, well, they sure seem like they're getting anointed. It sure seems like they're dancing in the Spirit. Amen. It may take a while. That's why we got to, amen, have discerning of Spirit to see the fruit. Amen. Wait till the fruit comes out. Every tree that bringeth forth, listen, every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down. You've been kind of judgmental, preacher. Well, how many different ways can I humbly, lovingly say hewn down? The axe is laid at the root of the tree. Anybody ever hewn a tree down? That's what God's going to do with every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down. And what? Cast into the fire. Yeah, they got, and either way, it's not pleasant, is it? Huh? It's hewn down and cast into the fire. Now listen, you say, well, Brother Randy, do you think it's this serious? It's just as serious as I just read it right here. The Bible said, wherefore, verse 20. Now listen, that scripture that says, judge not, that you be not judged, it's talking about a hypocritical judgment. It's talking about criticizing someone that's doing really less evil than you're doing. Now that is hypocritical judgment. The Bible said, get the beam out of your own eye, and then you can get the mote out of your brother's eye. You've got to judge a righteous, pure, truth-based judgment. You have got to have your eyes open. You've got to have the light on. You've got to be able to discern between good and evil. Can you say amen? Ooh, I got to hurry. Got 10 more minutes of this, and then it's off to the birthday party. Huh? Shouldn't have mentioned that, should I? Here we go. Listen to this right here. Now, this is real important. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord. Not everybody that praises, so to speak, the Lord. Not everybody that worships the Lord. Not everybody that acknowledges that Jesus is Lord. Not everybody that believes in the Lord are going to go to heaven. You say, brother, I don't believe that. Well, Jesus said the devils believe and tremble. Do they go to heaven? Huh? Does Satan go to heaven? All right. Who goes to heaven? Well, it tells you the next verse. What it say? Next part. What it say? But who? He that doeth the will of the Father. Amen. Boy, it's quiet in here. Oh, hallelujah. I said, it's quiet in here, I'm telling you. Amen. I don't want to get too tight here. We want to have a good day. But listen, I want you to ask yourself the question, am I doing the will of the Father? If your answer is no, then you're not going to heaven. You say, well, how can you stand up there and say that? Because the Bible just said it. Not him that cried, Lord, Lord. Not him that goes to church. Not him that pays their tithes. But them that do the will of the Father. We can't just do the will of God in one area and miss it in another area. Amen. The Bible said if you're guilty in one part of the law, you're guilty of the whole law. We got to surrender ourselves to the will of God. You say that means we never, oh yeah, we're going to fail. But the Bible said if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. You've got to get back in harmony with the will of God. Hallelujah. Brother, this is serious business right here. I don't want to preside over a congregation of folks that just come and pretend to be religious all the time and then bury you one by one and send you off into hell. Not me. I don't want that. I want you to know that God wants us to do His will. What is the will of the Father? This right here, brother and sister, is the revealed will of God Almighty. The commands and the promises of the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Amen. Now listen to this. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Get this. Prophesied in thy name? Have we not preached in your name? In thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. You say, well, boy, how could these folks miss it? Cast out devils, prophesied in the name of the Lord, had a church, pastored a church, went to church. And you mean to tell me in that day? What day is he talking about when he says in that day? He's talking about the judgment day. That's the day that matters for us, brother and sister. It's not coming in and get your credentials. Amen. Everybody pass out a membership card. Here, you're a member of my church. You're a member of my church. That won't get us off the ground. That won't get us above the hill. He said, they say, Lord, Lord, and cast out devils in my name, and they're not. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I wish the Lord would help you right here. Listen to this. And then what will it say? Then will I profess unto them. Now they were professing unto him. Now he's going to profess unto them. I never knew you. How can that be? Well, you know, there's a scripture. How many knows there's a scripture in Ezekiel that says that if a man sins and we fail to warn the sinner, then his blood is required at our hand. How many remembers that verse? You know, there's another verse in that same context that says, if you warn not the righteous and they sin, then their righteousness will be remembered no more, and their blood will be on your hands. Read it. It's in there. You say, well, I didn't think righteous people could sin. Well, they did in Ezekiel. I wish I was a preacher this morning. You need one. Huh? This is serious business. There ain't no need. There ain't no need of us going through the motions and professing and end up lost and get down to. I looked at my poor pastor that preached to me for them 8 years, and I looked at him yesterday, and I really couldn't even carry on a conversation with him. It broke my heart. And just look at him knowing, but it's like this right here. When this is all over with, amen, that man's going to have a reward. He's lived for God all these years. He's going to stand before God, and it's just like, you know, my little sis lived for the Lord all those years. And even this week, Sister Tara, I was praying about that, about it, and thinking about it. And I thought, boy, them all them years, and we prayed for her to be healed. And boy, I heard the word like that come to me. She is healed. She is healed. Praise God. Better than ever. And I'll tell you, when Brother Ralph, it hurts me to watch him suffer like he did. But brother, to leave this world and know that we're right with God, you talk about a healing. But I'll tell you what I don't want. I don't want to get before God and been religious all my life and hear him say, I don't even know you. Brother, I'll tell you what's going to make our eternal future worth something is to have the Lord say, hey, that's my child right there. That's mine right here. These are mine. Right here. Come on in. You say, well, how can it be that we can prophesy and cast out devils and say, Lord, Lord, and I'll tell you what, this worldly church age that come to church and manufacture praise and manufacture the Holy Ghost and pretend to speak in tongues and sway around and have their praise and worship teams and dance practice before church and go through all that, bro, that's an abomination. We have to do the will of God. Huh? And just because people can shout and speak in tongues and I believe in all of that, but brother, there is a real and there is a counterfeit. And just because somebody can act like a preacher and put on a necktie and thump the bullpit and hoot and holler and get on the radio and preach that famous sermon they all preach, keep the cards and letters coming. Brother, that doesn't make them right with God. Oh, it's quiet in here. You say you're just hateful and judgmental. No, I'm trying to warn us, everyone, that there is a relationship we've got to have with God and keep it to the very end of the road. Because there is a possibility that folks will, in the judgment day, and the Lord Jesus said they would right here, that they'll get up and say, but we did all these things. And he says, I never knew you. And then he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You not only didn't do nothing for me, you worked iniquity. Well, I'm going to say one more verse and we're going to close. Y'all just carried away with this morning. Listen to this. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And I want to ask you, how many is invested in the Rock of Ages this morning? Let's stand. Praise God.